You send signal, you listen for an echo. At the first splinters, you run to tell Geppetto. And in the worst winters, the whole thing feels untenable. Crow took me by the shoulder and he told me, honey, don't let go.
Nobody feels the honey. You are just fearful.
Rose to the edge.
Chapter 7. Day 12. Evening. It is party time tonight at Casa de Strider, by which you mean on the roof, which technically is not part of the apartment, but fuck that noise. It's also only a party if you consider a bunch of people sitting or standing around making small talk in between yawns a party. John's dad and Jade and her hell beast came back an hour ago, with Rose and Roxy and their mom and Kanaya in tow. Which means there are now, at last count, 14 people in the apartment, if you count the dog. You do count the dog. He might know somehow if he were uncounted and come nosing at you with his long, freaky muzzle. And then everyone would be embarrassed. Especially you, Ree, the pissing of your pants. You take a handful of greasy chips and quickly sneak away from the snacks table, under which the hellbeast is napping. Whew! Safe. Who to hang with now? The adults are clumped together, Dadbert and Bro sitting on the drop between the roof itself and the staircase landing, Lady Lush Lalonde on a plastic chair, which you don't even know where Bro liberated it from. Blugh. Jade and Terezi, in deep, secret discussion together. Also no. Hell no. From the half-horrified, half-fascinated expression on Dave's face, they're talking about bras or periods or something even worse, like maybe sex. Rose and Kanaya watching the last of the sunset together, hand in hand, having a moment. Nope. You'll chat with Kanaya later. Roxy, huh? Hanging off Murder Clown's neck and giggling, as Cranky McCuteclutes glowers suspiciously at them. Wonderful mystery! You're content never to unravel it. Dirk is standing by the far corner of the roof, but with the tents and so many people spreading out, it's actually not that far away. You hesitate to amble his way. He might not mind a bit of quietly sitting at his side, but he also might mind a hell of a lot and just not say it. Everyone laughs about your alone princess time, but you're pretty sure half the time Dirk spends locked up in the bathroom, the water's not even running. Hey, Karkat says, all low and rough-voiced from your side. Thank fuck someone to talk to. Who's also got a mouth you can stare at and see how fast he blushes? Yes. No one else in earshot. Hey, hot stuff. You give him the eyebrow. He glowers back grumpily. I'm not here to subject myself to your horrid pickup lines. Need to drop a word in your ear, and then, if you still have two sponge cells left over, you could maybe even pass it on to the right person, though I'm not holding my breath. You frown a little. Whoa there. I'm not playing those games. You want something said? Say it yourself. Karkat gives a frustrated huff. I would, except I can't. It'd be rude as fuck from me. And you might not have any grasp of quadrant etiquette, but if any of you humans do, Lalonde will. And she's about the only one of you lot I'd rather not insult to her face. She keeps grudges. Do trolls ever make sense? You rather think not. You decide to prod him along, just to watch his mouth move. And, like, maybe listen to one word out of 10. Yep, good plan. Oh, but I can say something?
The way I get your creepy brotherhood thing, you and Dave are sort of genetic platonic Moirail ashen mates, so it'd be less insulting from you to walk up to Rose and tell her to fix Dave already, since you're already more or less quadrant corners that way.
Okay, no. The stupid was so diamond dense in that one, it pierced right through your filters.
Dave needs fixed now?
He's moping, he explains,
and there's a weird, subtle tension in his voice that has you arching an eyebrow.
It strains Terezi, she takes it out on Gamzee.
Ain't she supposed to?
Karkat stares at you in offended yet unsurprised disbelief, and then rakes a hand in his hair and tugs on a handful of it. Good jolly chucklefuck, you really are congenially inept at kismessitude. No, she's not! You are totally willing to take him at his word. Secretly, because like fuck you were going to say so.
Sounds like it to me. A good dose of unfairness would get anyone boiling with rage, yeah?
He breathes in and out, loud and slow. Tugs on his hair again. You'd be amused at his over-the-top antics, but his eyes are tight at the corners in a way you don't like much. Rage because she puts her mate spritz feelings over her kismesses, he explains with put-upon patience, is going to turn platonic pretty damn quick. I've had it up to here with shushing Gamzee out of killing more of my fucking friends. You'd cross your arms if you could. Mantle your wing. You'll have to settle for setting your hand on your hip pointedly. It's hard having to rework your body language. It's hard and nobody understands.
Shouldn't you be calming Gamzee's tits first and foremost, then?
He twitches, flinches, and his lip curls up in an aborted snarl. One he fully meant.
Huh.
And then he looks away. Now that really isn't any of your goddamn business. You stare.
Well, fuck. Are you not calming Gamzee's tits?
Like, train approaching backup central. Please make sure you haven't forgotten any mementos you don't want thrown out the window between the seats.
Okay, now that I think we all need to know.
He's suddenly in your face, a low rattlesnake buzz underlining his words. Mind your own fucking business! You narrow your eyes and give him a cold look over the rim of your shades. And you loom right back. You have a couple of inches on him, which you use remorselessly. It is my business to know if me and my family should be sleeping armed and in shifts.
Flinch, nostrils flaring. His gray irises are flecked with red, and his eyelashes short but stupid thick somehow.
Why is he still pretty?
I'm still settling his shit. If needed, I just...
Okay, no. You didn't want to make him sound defeated, to make his shoulders droop like this. That's just making you squirmy inside. Secondhand embarrassment in a way that makes your guts want to run away without the rest of you.
It's not fucking easy to talk things out with him right now, okay? I can't just pretend he... I can't just come crawling back. I can't always be the one who compromises because, oh my shitting, bulge rot, high blood rage incoming. Don't ask that of me.
You reply intelligently, and then you cave.
Okay, Gigas, I'll tell Rose to skullfuck Dave into being less of a whiny tool. She must be exhausted from all that roadhead that she ain't already on the job. Broad does it just for the fun of it most days, I swear.
Sigh. You ogle Rose and her glowy girlfriend. But seriously, it'd make way more sense for you to go direct to Rose. I'm starting to think you just want to avoid your own round of feelings autopsy.
Karkat still looks tired, but less tense already, now you've said yes. He steals a glance at Roxy and Gamzee, still chatting in a weird, easy way that you refuse to comprehend. Maybe talking about the joys of getting high and committing atrocities upon all of grammar kind.
Like you never run from Rose, he says.
Slander, my good sir. I demand a duel at dawn to salve my honor. Only crossing the swords will wash away this affront.
Long, heavy-lidded measuring, unimpressed stare. Let me guess. This is where you mention sheathing your blade in my body, and I swoon under your mastery of innuendo.
You shrug. I was just thinking frottage, but if you're up for the full sex, then who am I to scorn the heartfelt gift of your deflowering?
I might mention that it's a classical Calignius overture, he retorts, eyes narrowed, claws flexing slowly. Are you sure you want to go there, Strider? Because right now, I don't think I would mind.
You raise your hand defensively. Whoa, hold your big war steed, Knightley.
Bloodletting? Not sexy. Karket huffs and crosses his arms. He looks both vindicated and faintly disappointed. You are not sorry about that. He needs to get used to that kind of disappointment. Thank you very much. So, blech, what do I even tell Rose? Like, I want to give her a full situation update. She'll have pieced up most of it together already, Karket replies. The rest she'll probably drag out of him in under a minute. He looks at your moo and rolls his eyes at you. But when he speaks next, he sounds calmer, maybe almost a little apologetic, in a grumpy Karket way. Technically, I should go to Terezi's Moirail first, since she's the Shatterpoint. It really makes things problematic that she doesn't have one.
A fact which I did not use to bemoan, said Terezi from just behind him. He jumps.
You pinch your lips. You could have told him she was coming up, you guess? Eh. Her shoulders are droopy, too. This is all kinds of wrong. You frown a little. Karket looks like you feel. Like he's now holding the unfortunate baby of oh shit and aw hon that someone shoved in his arms without warning. Terezi looks like she wanted to say more. Mouth open, turned towards Karket. But then she seems to remember. He's the pale bro of the asshole causing her boy troubles. And she closes it again. Smiles a bright smile. You can see behind her shades, from that angle, and she is absolutely not meaning it.
Anyway, I'm going for pizza before I start sobbing wretchedly over the desolate state of my pale quadrant. Should I bring you guys a piece?
You trying to court me into pale marrying you, Pyrope? You say tonelessly. You were joking, but swear to fuck for a second she seems tempted. Karket bristles, though. Huh, what the fuck is that about? It's not like being pale with her would stop you two from getting your mac on.
Not that you want to be pale with her anyway, so WTF.
Bird already has a Moirail,
he says, joking in that way which means he isn't really.
Don't make him cheat on John. I know humans are shameless pale floozies, but you're not human.
Careful now, you reply, because fuck if you're going to let him dictate who you cannot flirt with, even if that someone is Terezi Pyrope, the girl who comes stamped with nope, so big you can see it from orbit. I'ma be tempted to hoe it up just to rub your delicate sensibilities the wrong way. Is John even aware of the deep and meaningful romantic bond you're touting here, Vantis?
Karket rolls his eyes at you. John wouldn't be aware of his own mating urges if his bulge were stuffed to the hilt up someone's waist chute. Why in the vast, shit-filled viscera of the universe, Frog, do you think he'd notice anything subtler?
Terezi and you accidentally chorus a
point.
She immediately reprises with,
but I do not concede that John Dimes Bird is canon.
Lips pursed, cheeks puffed out like an annoyed squirrel. You wonder if you should feel a sting. You elect to carefully hoard your fucks like you're the Scrooge McDuck of fuck-giving. Yep, all duck-billed and not letting a single little fucklet escape your tight little fist.
Quack, quack, quack. Caw!
Whoops. Maybe you can be a hoarding magpie, building his nest out of fresh fucks and sticks. That's at least the right avian family. You try to ignore the shit out of them as they keep yammering about shipping. God knows why. They sound weirdly forced and it's getting on your nerves. You turn away, scan the roof. People have moved towards the main street, more to watch some kind of... You don't have a clue. Maybe there's a procession down there. You've been hearing sirens, but that's not exactly unusual in this part of town. You step away from the two trolls and scan the gathering for someone else to latch onto, who preferably won't find your epic bromance with John a matter of thoughtful, at-length analysis. Yeah, okay, sorry, Dirk. He got his alone time. He can guarantee yours starting now. You start towards him. He's there at the edge of the crowd. Most backs turn to him as people chatter and laugh and point down at... At what, you wonder? A circus? An elephant? A celeb toolbox strutting down the avenue in their convertible? Some naked carpenter dudes banging in the bed of a pickup truck? You're sure you'll be given the full rundown the second you slow down enough to get harpooned. You are still 10 steps away when Dirk jerks himself up on his feet, plants a hand on the wall, and vaults right the fuck over it. You don't think. You dash to follow him overboard. Save him. So does Bro, thoughtless. And you catch yourself thinking, no, he's gonna crash, he can't fly. Neither can you. You come to a screeching stop at the wall, hand smacking hard on it to kill your momentum. Bro's hand vice tight on your shoulder. A story down, Dirk does a turn on his rocket board and disappears in the living room through an open window, leaving a looping trail of smoke. Holy fuck. Holy fuck, says Bro, in that too calm but really not calm at all voice. Holy mother of fuck. Holy fuck, family. I'm going to kill that kid dead and stuff his corpse. He drags you back. You teeter the tiniest bit. Your heart is in your throat. You'd forgotten that Dirk had that thing on him. What the hell? When you turn back toward the group, the adults are eyeing you, and so are Terezi and Karkat, who were apparently following you, and Kanaya, who probably saw you race past. Their eyes are a little wide. You sigh and make a point of relaxing your shoulders, of looking exasperated. It's still hard to breathe. I'm going to kill him, and then I'm going to kill you, and then I'm going to kill Dave just in case, and then we'll be a perfect Prospect family. I'll get matching porcelain tea sets and play pretend with the lot of you every day. So much fun to be had. So much fun. Uh-oh. You can't believe you forgot you couldn't fly anymore. And Dirk inside the apartment already? Who knows if he'd have heard you yell? There's a lot of floors to fall by. Bro's glaring at the staircase, though. You grab his wrist. No, Bro, wait. Why the fuck, dude? You whisper urgently, and wince a little when he glares the glare of, don't you think you're in the clear, Buster? If Dirk was flinchy enough that he couldn't even cross through the crowd to take the goddamn stairs, what do you think is gonna happen if you charge in now? If you're all lucky, he'll just jump out a window again and disappear for the next day, which would mean you miss your flight. Worst case scenario, he flips out and they have themselves a battle royale with live blades. What do you fucking suggest, then? You wince. Ugh, shit. Now you have to come up with an actual solution. You look around. Rose and Jade are starting to turn around, puzzled. Maybe Terezi will... No, she's gone all battle tense, fingers twitching like she's about to pull things out of her Solidex. Gamzee is watching you and Bro through hanks of messy hair, and his expression is completely unreadable and gut-deep unsettling. Shit. Kanaya? You give her a pointed look, a borderline harsh nod towards Roxy, who's draped over the wall and still laughing at whatever is going on down below. Dear Gog, if you exist, you think. And then, dear Bilious Slick Jr. Kanaya blinks once, confused, and a second time in an, oh, way, and taps Roxy on the shoulder, leans in to whisper in her ear. Thank you, Frog God. Roxy listens for a few seconds, and then she slaps her forehead, grimacing, and takes off at a quick jog for the stairs. You eyebrow warily. Mr. Egbert walks up to him, pats his shoulder. Face a picture of sympathy. John almost broke his leg the first day, trying to float down the stairs. Bro goes, "Ugh," and stuffs his hands deep in his pockets, but he doesn't shrug him off. You tiptoe away before he remembers to yell at you for that stunning moment of brilliance. Shit. Suburb Hospital, neuroses on sale for cheap. You give in and drag yourself back to Terezi and Karkat, since apparently you are doomed on pain of Darwin Award to their company. Okay, crisis handled, shut the fuck up. My, what nice weather we're having. You see them throwing little glances at Bro over your shoulder before they exchange a look. Well, Karkat looks, and Terezi tilts her head his way, and finally simmer down. Well, fuck me twice. I did not expect any kind of Strider to be a diamond pimp, Karkat says. Yes, outstanding job with the awareness of group dynamics, Terezi rejoins, with a bright, unsettling grin.
You'll make an awesome quadrant facilitator.
You grimace. You bet quadrant facilitator is a euphemism for whoremonger. Maybe matchmaker if you're being generous.
It's not awareness of jack shit. It just made sense to send the one girl he knows and who knows how to handle him, rather than bro in full-on spanking mode. It's not like Dirk ever got a spanking in his life. Be a bit harsh for a first time.
No, sorry. That's still what we call meddling in those rarefied circles known as civilization. Since when are you a meddler?
Since you claimed the going-to-pieces role in this party, you want to say. But that'd reveal too much. Since you kind of still feel half a step removed from humanity some days, and gathering and analyzing player data is an ingrained habit. Since you wish someone would see you back.
You glare at Karkat.
No more makeouts for him!
Perhaps Kanaya is already having an undue influence on him.
Karkat stares at Terezi, baffled. She grins. You know you're in for another round of let's discuss Bird's imaginary quadrants like he's not standing right there. Okay, who out there would you not mind jumping off the roof if you went to chat them up?
Damn, you actually like most of them. Looks like you're stuck. Didn't you know? I have it from Jade, who had it from Rose herself, that Bird here made ashen overtures to Kanaya, and she's considering. Swoon, swoon.
I did not fucking know, he rejoins with delighted outrage. When did this happen? Who?
Huh. Pennies dropped.
He thinks about it for a second, his face going through a series of more and more unreadable contortions.
Could do worse. You know, Terezi, I used to think you were ashen for Gamzee and Kanaya with the, heh, getting in the middle.
Karkat tries on a smile. You wince.
Ha! Ah, maybe you're right, and I'm actually hideously terrible at figuring out any kind of romance. Maybe it actually is a perverted four-way pale clusterfuck. Maybe...
You can't take it anymore. It's just hitting every single cringe button you have. That secondhand embarrassment is dealt by a pimp-slapping pro. Ow, your poor whore mouth.
Hey, wanna hook up?
A beat.
Tonguingly?
Terezi bursts out laughing, though she immediately presses a hand to her mouth, like she feels bad about it. Karkat's face turns ruddy in spectacular blotches.
Strider, what the fuck?
Or like, with other parts, if you really insist. I gotta rub Dave's face in my mastery of alien bits, you know. Like a horn job or something, if you're into that.
I am going to kill you!
Sure, but only a little one, okay? Terezi is biting down on her fist, body shaking with the laughter she heroically swallows back. It's so much better than the hurting, sorry look from earlier, you can't even quantify it. You dodge behind her as Karkat lunges for you, claws out. No, but seriously, I like your horns. They'd both fit in one hand if they were any closer. It's horrible how tiny and cute they are. You could almost lose them in your hair. Wow, hey, no throwing chairs. Bad, Karkat. Naughty.
Son, what's going on?
Ugh! Mr. Egbert had to intervene just when you were about to leave the safety of the Pyrope demilitarization zone and lead him on a chase around the air conditioning units. You'd be out of sight and everything behind those. But nope! The second he hears his voice, Karkat goes straight to meek and embarrassed.
Sorry, Dad. We were just playing around.
When the man looks at you for confirmation, you shrug. You're pretty sure he can tell you were needling Karkat, but he decides to let it go.
I see. I do wish you'd play a little less rough on the furniture if you could.
Yeah, okay.
Boom! Calmed.
Maybe even a little peaceful. What is that miracle? You arch an eyebrow over your shades. Try to look with Terezi. Her lips are pursed, and both her own eyebrows halfway up her hairline.
Did we just see that?
You whisper. She whispers back. Not that quietly.
I think we did, but I'm not sure what we saw at all.
It looked pretty conciliatory.
Shut up before you embarrass yourself with your piss-poor understanding, Karkat throws at you.
but almost mildly. It's not romance. He's my friggin' Lucis. He then seems to have himself a private, not internal enough moment of squee, daddy, about it. You refrain really hard from making a kink joke. Terezi's pointy face is one big, aww. What is that morass of syrupy feels you're swimming in? You're drowning. Quick, a strider to be dry and douchebaggy with. Sup? Any strider but Dave, please. No? Okay. Dave's not too bad. It could have been Gamzee. Not that Gamzee is a strider, but as much as it makes you wretch to think of, he's almost kind of an in-law, once removed. What's the haps in this fine corner of the roof? Dave says, inserting himself between you and Terezi. We're planning to hook up threesome style and run away from it all. Sexy sandwiches all up in that bitch. No, he deadpans at the trolls. Say it isn't so. Terezi puts on a hammy, sad look. Alas, my love. Carcat sighs, rolling his eyes. You can't get over how hilariously mobile his face is. The things he does with his eyebrows alone. Yeah, we figured we were cursed to contend with Lucis-haired douchebags unto death anyway. Might as well limit that egregious bullshit to a single one. Dave stares at Carcat for a couple of seconds, and then at you. How'd you get Carcat to play along? I can never get him to play along. You're cheating and I hate you. Bland look. I bribe him with horn jobs. Huh. He considers it. Carcat goes a little pink and Terezi snickers. I could try that. If you want to lose a hand. Also mad platonic snuggles. Bitches dig my snuggles. I don't advise losing the hand, though. It's a drag to have nowhere to put your watch. Note to self. Cripple jokes only funny to self and maybe select siblings. Now Carcat looks all guilty. Fuck. Dude, it's not taboo. Bite away. Evil body parts all up and asking for it. Bingo! He goes ruddy again, and then he shoves your shoulder and kicks you in the ankle. Ow, I draw the line at one missing limb, Vantis. Desist with your attempts at laming me. No, seriously, stop it. Ow, I'm gonna tell on you to Dadbert. You shoulder him away. He scowls. You bounce off his side again, bland-faced. Bickering is fun. Funnier than feelings? You pretend you can't feel Gamzee's burning eyes on the back of your head. Grim Auxiliatrix, GA, started pestering Truncated Grip, TG. GA, I have talked to Gamzee and he is uninterested in, I quote, your flat, sickly glutes. GA, frown. TG, aw, sis. TG, IDK if I feel relieved or emo, my ass is not flat, okay, fuck you. TG, actually, more like alarmed. He keeps staring, I could swear it, only I can never catch him at it. GA, that is very possible. Gamzee is rather creepy like that. GA, I admit, I am somewhat disappointed. GA, I should have known better than to hope. TG, TG, we can still have that date if you insist insistingly like the nagging nag you totally are, Mariam Gigas, stooping to blackmail now the shame. GA, oh my, Mr. Strider, were you perhaps looking forward to the makeover? TG, I can neither confirm nor deny this allegation. GA, it would have been a very inefficient deterrent in that case. GA, perhaps it is for the best, then. G.A. Smile. G.A. By the way, Gamzee also told me to tell you to stop flipping on Carcat, or he'll get platonic on your ass. T.G. Wait, what? T.G. I am not flipping Gigas fuck. G.A. So there is something occurring there? G.A. G.A. Tell me more about this thing that is in no case flipping. TG, it's not flipping, it's pigtail pulling, a fine, time-honored human courtship tradition. which, as you know, is by def always flush as Carcat's face after a nice bout of innuendo. TG. Not that I actually like him or anything. I mean, he's an okay friend and all. I just think he's not ugly. There's no deeper feelings or anything. I barely know the guy. TG. The more I explain, the more it sounds like denial, doesn't it? GA. Feel free to keep going in that vein. TG. Just can't win with you broads. TG. What is it about me that makes me such a diamond stud? GA. No, we be really badly matched. It's just nosiness. TG. Oh, okay then. TG. Look, a two-leafed clubs. Club. TG. Today I fix your grid. Today I create the missing link. TG. The nosy broads quadrant. TG. Fifth Trent? TG. We are now Gossip Chumps OTP forever. GA. Hee. GA. This is really rather silly, but... GA. Clubs? GA. Now, does that mean you are actually obligated to tell me about your in-no-case quadrant-related thing with a certain grumpy young man we both know? TG. TG. Damn. TG. I knew I was forgetting something.